All right, the Parsha this week is Parsha Shlach, and with Kli Yakar has a lot of insight in the Meraglim. We're not going to get too heavily involved in the Meraglim. He goes through the details of, for example, if you look at the opening pasuk after Vayda Bereshit Moshe Limor, it's Shlach Lachan Hashem V'yasuru Es Eretz Kanan. So the verb which is given, or the instruction which is given to the Anashim, to these messengers, is of Yasuru, that they should tour out, spy out the land. And what they end up doing comes to different kinds of verbs. One of them is Vayasuru, Asaras Kanan, and then it also says Vayiraglu, Asaras, right? Or not Vayiraglu, but that verb is used. And there's another one which he mentioned, Vayach Perulanu, Asaras, that in Devarim it mentions that one. So the Kli Yakar goes into what each of these means in the greater context, and he goes through a lengthy analysis, which I'm not going to get into. But what I do want to show you is just a couple of points that he makes on the opening comment of Rashi in particular. And we're actually not only here, we're going to see Rashi's comment detailed, but even more, even most fantastically, is the way the Kli Yakar rather explains Rashi's comment on tzitzis. We're going to conclude with that because that's amazing. Amazing stuff. Okay, so let's take a look in the Kli Yakar sheet, which you should have. Shlach Lachan Hashem. So Rashi, of course, says in the second Rashi, Shlach Lacha Ledatcha. Ani Eini Mitzav Lacha Im Tirtzeh Shlach. Right? Shlach Lacha. You're going to be doing it for you. I'm not telling you what to do. God says this is for your benefit. Okay, it's up to you. So
Ledatcha doesn't mean your benefit. Ledatcha really means.
Right.
For your knowledge.
Correct. For your knowledge. Okay. Im tirtzeh shlach. If you want to, so then it's because you want to. So why would you want to? So that you should know. And what's your knowledge?
Hashem is raising the concept.
Okay. In a chinami. In a chinami. Right. So in Dvarim, in the first chapter in Dvarim, when Moshe describes this, Moshe actually does say that this was his idea, even though here it doesn't seem that way. But anyway. So the Kli Yakar says, Lefisham Yisrael, right? When Israel said, "Let's send people," or Moshe actually, I'm sorry, that's the way it is in Dvarim. Moshe blames the people. Lanu, haynu lahadaseinu lotavoseinu. When they're saying nishlacha Hashem lanu, right, lefaneinu and lanu, then that's saying it's for our benefit. Remember, Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe shlach lecha. So God says to Moshe, "You're going to be doing it for you, v'lo lahem, and not for them." For you, there's going to be benefit. What's going to be the benefit? So let's think about it. Let's see if we can anticipate what's he going to say now. Okay, we know what's the result of the Meraglim. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the result of the Meraglim?
The 40 years.
40 years, okay. So is that to whose benefit is the 40 years? Is it to Bnei Israel's benefit?
No.
Absolutely not. What about the Moshe?
Why is it Moshe's benefit? Yeah, because he lives 40 years more.
Baruch Shekivanta. That's exactly what he says. Okay, they shlichu zed nigzer alayhem misa. Well, the Moshe garm sheyachay od arba'im shana. Exactly. Okay, that's the last Rashi in Parshas Shmos.
That's a difficult concept, you know.
Okay, right.
If we're going through 40 years,
right. Okay. So it's an amazing. So that goes into a much larger discussion about Moshe and Moshe's destiny and Moshe's death and etc. So I'll just give you two points. One is the last Rashi in Parshas Shmos. Last Rashi in Parshas Shmos quotes Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says Atah with an ayin. Atah tir asher esel paro l'mitzrayim. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro, but you're not going to see what I'm going to do to Malchei Eretz Canaan. Okay, which seems to indicate that when it's time to go in, you're not going. Okay, and then in Parshas Matos, and Hashem says to Moshe, and this is in the 40th year, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Israel, right? He says, take revenge against the Midianim. Achar Tiasef Alamecha, and then afterwards you're going to die. What does Moshe do? No delay tactics.
Right.
Boom. Okay, which just goes to show that Moshe understood his purpose in life, even though he really, really wanted to go to Eretz Israel, as we know.
I mean, preordained, but, had nothing to do with Meraglim or
right. Exactly. So it's just a fascinating idea regarding Moshe that Shlach Lecha really is to your benefit because it's going to screw up everything, but you'll end up living for another 40 years. So, whatever benefits life has, and that just goes to show how many people, if given the opportunity, you say, would you like to die now? Most people would say, no, I want to live. But isn't death the Olam HaMemes? Isn't death Chai Olam HaBa? Yes. But there's a reason why we get Chayol
Mazeh.
Okay. All right, so that was the first one. Okay, so the next one which I gave you, Davar Acher, L'cha Anashim, L'cha Nira, Ki Heima Anashim Chashuvim, Ki Enei Basar Lach. You have human eyes, so you see them as Anashim. And all you could see is Liros Benigla, Vad Ba'asher Usham. You only see these people as they are. Ki Bo Seshar Ksherim Ayu. At that time, they were Ksherim. Avo Be'enai, Einan An Mashim Ksherim. I see what you don't see, Moshe Rabbeinu. So when I say Shalach L'cha, you're going to pick them how you're going to pick them. But you're not, I'm not getting involved. Ki Ani Roa Shtei Riyos. Behovel B'yosid. I see what's now and I see the future. Ki Asid In Liyos Be'etzara. I see that they're going to give bad advice.
Hashem couldn't share that with Moshe.
He did in saying Shlach Lecha. It's on you, buddy.
So Moshe couldn't.
Okay, well, I guess not. Okay, the next paragraph, which I didn't give you, is where he raises the interesting suggestion of what the Midrash says about why the Meraglim is meant to run next to Miriam, because he learned from the Meraglim didn't learn from what happened with Miriam. And he raises an interesting discussion about how women, have a tendency to talk more. And he, quoting a Gemara in Kedushin, he says that there were 9 calves of talking which went down to the world. I'm sorry, 10 calves of talking which went down to the world. 9 of them women took for themselves. Okay? Now, I mean, I was thinking, sociologically speaking, I think that more often, and I don't want to get into like a sexist territory, but I think there's a lot of truth to this. If 2 men hang out together, they might not talk all that much. Whereas if 2 women hang out together, they'll probably be doing a lot more talking than the men. And it's nature. I don't think there's anything sexist about such a comment. But he says as a result, this is why Moshe took Anashim. Okay. And with that background, now you look at the last paragraph. Because if you think that the Kliyakos is sexist, then you look at the next paragraph, you say, no, he can't, there's no way that he can be. The rabbis taught us, Hanashim, Hayusonim Esaretz. The men, they hated the land. They said, any opportunity, right? They said, let's get out of here. We want to go back to Egypt. What's our proof? The daughters of Slavchad. The Amru Tanolanu Achuzah. God says, I think it's better to send women. Because women, they love the land. They're not going to speak Lashon Hara about it. That's Rashi, right? You think that these guys are good guys. Men, women, what's the matter? What's the difference? Okay, this is the way it is. Maybe it's a more dangerous mission, so I'm going to send men. I'll send good guys. You're going to send men because you think that they love the land. It's on your head that you're picking men.
Wow, I mean that's just to see. Oh yeah, well, I'm just going to send 10 women. You know what an uproar there would be with the men? I said, what are you talking about?
Nowadays, it'd be like, yes, powerful. You are strong and brave. Are you kidding? So, but anyway,
was the ultimate egalitarian.
Right. Okay. Well, my point is, you're saying, Shlach, if it's you who are sending the Kliyakar saying it's Anashim, really? But if I'm sending, I'm going to send the ladies, the people who I trust.
Right.
So I just think it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful counter, and counterpoint. On the one hand, where he says the women tend to speak more Lashon Hara, but on the other hand, when it comes to the land. They don't speak Lashon Hara.
But really,
by the way, I have to caveat. I don't know for sure that women speak more Lashon Hara. That's what it is.
Agents
to
go on your behalf, mm-hmm. You pick people that you know, as opposed to those that you don't know.
Okay.
But the other thing is, I mean, it really would be impossible to send the women any way you look at it. Unless, of course, they're trained. Because here, remember, they're going to a new country. Who knows what to expect? They know what to expect. It could be hostile. It could be, same. Plus, sending women, it can be very dangerous.
Right. So we don't. So the bottom line is, we don't know. But the point is that, and this is a Kliyakar, and I've been emphasizing this all year, that the Kliyakar he'll take. In a sense, he's taking the word here. He's taking the word lecha,
right.
And in the word anashim, he's focusing on a letter,
right.
Just the aleph in anashim versus nashim. That's really what he's doing here.
Yeah,
So, okay. Big difference. Okay. So the next thing which we're going to look at now is just the simple matter of after the names of the of these anashim are mentioned to us, we're told in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayikra Moshe lo Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that Moshe called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua, that he calls him Yehoshua. Now the question, I'm not going to get into this now, it's a longer discussion about when did Moshe change his name. The motion changing now because the Gemara tells us, why did he say Yehoshua? Right, that God should save you from the Eitzah of the Meraglim, and then so he put a Yud in there, making the first two letters of his name God's name, and that's what happened. So if it happened now, we know that up until now Yehoshua has always been called Yehoshua in the Torah. So that could have been a Maisa of editing. In other words, Moshe writes down the Torah, and at the time Moshe writes down the Torah, he, the guy is Yehoshua. So he just calls him Yehoshua always, and he just notes over here that he called him, that his name really had been Hoshea, and he's calling him Yehoshua. Okay, that's not the Kliyakar's concern, per se. It's, but let's take a look at what he does make his concern. Ya Yoshiach HaMeatzas Meraglim. Yeshes Bonayin, Lamadavka Shem Shel Yudhei. Why did he give him specifically the name of Yudhei? V'lamalo Espala Gam Al-Kalev. Why didn't he daven for Kalev? It's because he said to them, Aluzeba Negev. That's the instruction which he tells them in the very next Pasuk. In Pasuk Yitzayin, Aluzeba Negev Ali Sema Sahar. So go up through the south. V'amaraglim amru, Amalek Yosheb Eretz HaNegev. Perishrashi, Lefisha Nechavu Bo Yisrael. Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael were concerned about Amalek because they were a little traumatized by Amalek. That Yehoshua wouldn't be concerned about the Amalek because Yehoshua had already faced Amalek and he had been successful. That's the promise that Yad Hashem is always going to be against Amalek. So the bracha to Yehoshua was that the Yad Alkeis Yah will be put into his name. So that anytime he would encounter Amalek, he wouldn't be worried.
But he didn't add a Yud Hey, he added just the Yud.
Right, but that put into his name a Yud and Hey. So, but that was a bracha that only Yehoshua would appreciate, as opposed to Kalev. Now, I didn't give you the component about why, even though he asked the question about Kalev, I don't think he really answered it.
But Amalek, it had Yehoshua.
Right, so Yehoshua, but he doesn't really answer why he didn't bless Kalev. Yeah, there are answers. I mean, one of the answers is that Kalev ben Yefuneh that he turned himself away. Yefuneh wasn't really his father's name. His father's name was Chetzron. You know that from Divrei Yamim. And so Kalev was able to do it for himself because of his own amazing strength of character. Yehoshua, it's actually fascinating. We're not going to do this, but if you look through the psukim, when all the Meraglim come back, you see that if you ask yourself, where's Yehoshua in all this, you see that Kalev is the tour de force. He's the one who says, Vayas, Kalev asam, alon atlev, yirashnosa. Kalev is the one, where's Yehoshua? It's only after Yehoshua, you have to imagine the scene. You have Kalev on the one side, you have the 10 Meraglim on the other side, and then you have Yehoshua, who's like, I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, you know, like these guys, they're not so crazy, but Kalev is like, he's a good, dark guy. And then you see that Yehoshua clearly sides with Kalev. The question is, was it that easy for him, or was it really the tefillah of Moshe that saved him? Which is a fascinating thing to consider. Okay, when you look in Dvarim, Perak Aleph, Psukim Lamed Dal, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, where Moshe describes how I also don't get to go into land, and he seems to be pinning that on this story, on the spies. He mentions Zulasi Kalev ben Yefuneh Uyirana below the Saritz Asher Dark Bolovanav. Kalev is going to go into the land. Yehoshua ben Nun Omei Lefanecha Hu Yavosham Osoch Hazekuyan Chilanis Israel. So it seems that the reason why Kalev is going because of his because of who he was and what he did. Why does Yeshua get to go? Because he's replacing you. So in other words, it's not so much because it's Yeshua and Kalev who are on the other side of the Meraglim. So Yeshua plays a different role. He's given a tremendous amount of credit, but he's not given the credit that Kalev is given. Okay, which is, again, a longer discussion, but the Kli Yakar doesn't really address that. Okay. All right, I'm going to skip this, some of the stuff for now. Okay, because I really want to get to... you know what? No, actually, let's do this. Let's do this. Chaf. Pasuk Chaf. Okay. So when the Meraglim come back... before the Meraglim come back, rather, they're given a few questions. This is very, very, very end of Rishon. Moshe tells a bunch of questions. Ma'aretz asher hu yoshev ba, top of page 800. Hatovahi imra'a. Tell me about the land. Is it good? Is it bad? What about the cities where the people are living? Are they in camps? Are they open? Are they fortified? What about the land itself? Does it produce fruit? Does it have trees or not? You should be strong. You should bring from the fruit of the land the samples. It was the time of the grapes. So it's the time of the ripe grapes in Israel. It's like Sukkot's time. Right? The little Rosh Hashanah time, Sukkot's time. Which is kind of weird because maybe it was an early season or maybe things are a little different now. I don't know. Because they said the Meraglim came back. When did they give their bad advice? The Meraglim? Tisha B'Av, right? Sad. Yeah. Yeah, but that's the beginning of the Bechi L'Doros, okay? So I don't know why it would say you may be Bikurei Navim, because I've been in Israel, Sukkot's time, when the grapes are almost ready. It was certainly after Tisha B'Av when I got there, because I was in Yeshiva, I remember. Okay, anyway, maybe it could be different in different parts of the country. We know it's a very, not all the, I don't even know the word. Agriculturally, maybe it's not exactly the same everywhere. So take a look at the Kli Yakar here. Hayesh ba'etz amayin. Darsha Chazal, im yesh sham adam kosher sheyagin alehem ke'etz zeh ha'oseh tzel. Moshe was not asking if there are trees or not. Moshe was asking if they had a person in the land who could protect them. Just like a tree gives protection. Umegin, I'll call him Mistofev Pitzilo and protects everybody. What does that sound like? Who's made a similar type of argument? Maybe there's somebody there who, in whose merit they can survive. Okay? I mean, I'm just jumping off the page, but that's the Avraham and Sodom argument. Right? Right? Okay? Valzen emar sartzilami alehem shekvar meisiyov. He says, nope, their shade has been removed because Eov had died. So, in other words, what he's suggesting is, first of all, that Eov was a real person. Second of all, that he lived in Israel. And thirdly, that he was such a good guy that his merit would protect everybody. Ramaz Ladavar, Tzilam, Ola Lumispar Eitz, Tzilam, their shade, their protection, is the Gematria of Eitz, which is 160. V'yesh omrim eitz ze'utz v'hu Eov shumei eretz utz. That's another interesting question about the name utz, which appears a number of times in the Torah, referring to different people. So that's the first direction which he goes. V'alderach anistar, however, at least let's take this another step further. Amar hayesh ba'eitz imayin. Said, let's see if there's tree or not. Domel l'mash amru Yisrael hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu imayin. Okay, do you remember when they said that? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin? Isn't that the Masa Meriva? If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what it is. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin. I think, I'm not going to double check. He doesn't quote it, but I think that's where it is. Or is it Mara? It's in Beshalach. It's probably in Beshalach. It's in one of those episodes where the people are wondering if Hashem is with us. Okay? Ki lo Yisrael m'supakim b'metzius Hashem b'zbarach. It's not like the people say, oh, God doesn't exist. They're not saying, is there God or not? They're saying, is Hashem b'kirbenu? They were doubtful whether God was actually with them. Right? So in other words, it's the difference between being a monotheist, somebody who believes in God, and believes that God is here, and that God is playing a role, and being a deist. What's a deist? A deist, like Thomas Jefferson, I think, was a deist. What was his idea? Yeah, there was a creator, and he's not really involved right now. Okay? He's, you know, he may be out there, but he's letting everything run its course. Which is exactly the idea. Is God taking care of us, or is he just leaving everything up to chance? Moshe wanted to see if God is really being Moshel, or if God is looking out for this land, and that's what he's asking. Which reminds him, the tree refers to the shadow of God. V'shem shel arba, ramuz b'milas eitz. The name of four. What's the name of four? Yud and hey, and vav and hey. Remember, eitz, we said before, is 160. Ketzad. Yud hey, he says, if you multiply yud five times, and hey pamim yud, that's also 50. Haremeya. Okay, so you have to just multiply it in both directions. That gets fine. Vav hey, vav pamim hey, hey pamim vav, that's 30 plus 30. Hareshishim. So you have 160. Sacha kol me'ev shishim k'mispar 8, so k'mispar tzilam. V'zeh she'amar, sar tzilam y'aleim y'azavom l'mikrim, that he says, sar tzilam y'aleim, sometimes God abandons them. V'Hashem itanu, shomreinu v'tzileinu, Hashem is watching over us. U'mitakamar me'aleim, shpaminash etzilo ala aretz, hahi, zulash me'aleim sar, mir'as yoshevei ba. Okay, so what Moshe is trying to find out is if in fact God is with us and not with them, or if he's God also with them. It was about the people in the land. It wasn't about the land itself. Moshe knows that the land is something that God has negiyas with, that God is watching over. So, but I found it fascinating, the idea that Yeshua Eitzimayin is perhaps an allusion to Moshe giving a similar kind of argument. And this is something which we're faced with every now and then when we think about the question of the people in the land. Now, we have an easy answer, but when contemporary chaykrim, right? People who like to criticize the Bible and the Torah, they look at it and they say, "Oh, the Bible's a violent place, and a lot of the stories are just horrific." And how could you trust in a God who says this or who does this or who tells people to do this? And I don't have a very good answer to the question of why God tells the B'nai Israel to do what he tells the B'nai Israel to do, why he doesn't just pull a Noach, a Sodom. Right? If God could destroy the world in Noach's time, and he could destroy Sodom in Avram's time, so why have the B'nai Israel go ahead and be the marauders? Just, you know, send a plague. You've done it to B'nai Israel so many times. Send a plague, wipe the people out, and you come in. So unless you say, no, the only way you can prove that it's there is if they conquer it. Okay, but don't you know that in a few thousand years people say, oh, you conquered it. You guys are a bunch of marauders. Say, well, you don't deserve it. And so it's a difficult question. Okay, but at the same time, if you make the case that God didn't have an army on earth in the time of Noah, in the time of Abraham, God just showed himself in that way at that time. But now God actually has an army. And so God can send his army, and he can tell them what to do, and this is his plan. And he explains it, not just that he explains it, but that he's demonstrating that here, the people, just like at the time of Sodom, they didn't even have one person. They didn't even have one person whose merit could protect them from whatever was coming. And he's getting that just from the formulation of that question of Hayesh Ba Eitzimayin, which sounds like is God with us, but it's really referring to the people in the land. Is God with them, or is God just, for them, leaving it up to chance? And the answer for them is that God was leaving them up to chance, but God was with us, or is with us. So there you have that difference as well.
Yeah, but really, the only way they can determine that is by speaking to the people and conversing with them and getting their ideas. Otherwise, it's just the Moroccans, it's the Anosha, where they're like, oh, it's their outlook on how they see it. It's not, we're not getting it from the people themselves. Because he's asking, he says, you know, are they people that, you know, believe in God? I don't know. The only way you know that is by talking to them. And there was no conversation at all.
during right. Certainly nothing recorded, and it does raise an interesting question as to what kind of reporting the whole Meraglim thing was. They come back and they're giving only their perception. Okay? And what does Kalev do? He says, no, Alona Levi Rashmasa, we can do it. I don't know what you guys are talking about. So Kalev clearly had a different perception. Why? And that begs a very different question, and that is, did they actually have interaction with the people in the land, or did they not? Right, one of the questions which is raised, and I think we were going to look at that, if I'm not mistaken. At one point they say, "Vanihi beinenu kachagavim v'cheinayinu beinehem." That we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we were also like that in their eyes. And the question is, how do you know what you were like in their eyes?
Mm-hmm. Unless you had an interaction with them.
Right, or unless you were close enough to hear what they were saying. Right, so you remember that story with Yonatan? I think it was Yonatan ben Shaul, where he sneaks near the army in the nighttime, the enemy army, and he wants to hear what they're saying. And he hears them talking, and he's just on the other side of like a little hilltop. And he hears them talking, and basically he had made a condition that if they say this, then we know that Hashem has put them into our hands. So, you know, did the people make a conditional kind of thing? If we hear, and listen, you know, the fight isn't necessarily with every man Canaanite. It's with the army. It's with the people. And so, you know, you meet people and you have maybe interactions with people with whom you don't really have a fight. I mean, if you think about it, one of the the Haftorah for Parshas Shlach is the story when Yeshua sends two Meraglim into Yericho. These guys are in the land for 40 days. You know, the Torah doesn't report on anybody seeing them, anybody hearing them, anybody having any kind of concern over who these guys are. Yeshua's guys are in Yericho for 2 seconds. And they're pounding on the door. Hey, Rachav, let these guys out. You know, we know that they were here. She said, "Ah, they ran away." Whatever. Okay. So, but the point is that we don't know. We don't know what's going on here beyond what we're told. Were there other interactions? It could be. It could be. But we simply don't know. So, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that for now. Okay. I think in the interest of time, not in the interest of time, in the interest of getting through the two main things that I wanted to do, we're gonna have to skip now. Okay, so let's go to. It's too good. All right, if we have time, we'll get back to Pasuk Lamed Beis. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis and Chav Zayin. Okay, but let's skip now to Perek Tezvav. Okay, so yes, he has more on the Meraglim, but there are two points in particular that the Kli Yakar brings out in this parsha, and I wanted to draw to your attention because they are just solid gold. Solid gold. Okay? So let's turn to Perek Tezvav. It's page 810. Where the Torah describes a type of carbon that would have to be brought. Okay? Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chaf Daled. This is towards the end. The Torah describes a few things related to carbonos, but it's actually in Shishi, bottom page 812. My mistake. V'chi sishgu, when you make a shogeg, right? Sishgu. V'lo sa'asu eskal mitzvosa ela shedibir Hashem el Moshe. And you don't do the things that God has told you. Eskal asher tziva Hashem aleichem yad Moshe. V'ni yom asher tziva Hashem v'holol darosichem. Okay, so you're going against the things that God has said. Now, by the way, some of this relates to the spies, right? The spies are a great example of where the Bnei Israel are making it a huge error and going against what Hashem said. Okay, now, it's not talking about that directly, but it comes shortly after it, and many make that connection. Okay? So, look at the end of the next pasuk. You're going to have to bring a bull as an ola, along with the proper flowerings and the pourings, etc. And a goat, one goat, as a chatas. Okay? So you look at that, and does the question come to your mind? What's wrong with what you're seeing here?
Missing an olive?
Yeah. Okay? Chatas d'ara. So if I told you that the word chatas is spelled many times in the Torah, and that it's always spelled with an aleph except here, would that make the question a little stronger? Okay? So that is the way it is. This is the only time in the Torah when the chatas is spelled without an aleph. So of course, it begs the question, darsheni, right? What's going on? So the Kli Yakar indulges us. Okay? Chatas ksiv, chaser aleph. The ode. So first of all, it's missing an aleph. The ode, yesh kan shimui. We have another major change. Anytime there's a sin offering and a burnt offering, the chatas, the sin offering comes first, and the ola is next. And we saw it, right? Look at the line above. This series, it mentions echad leola. Okay, the ola comes first. Hello, Davron. So what's going on? The omerani lefi shechid zeh medaber b'chid avod zara. He says, what's v'chis ishgu? The lo sasoyis kol mitzvos Hashem. What does it mean that the people make an error? He says it's referring to Avodah Zarah. Okay? So I mentioned before that it's not directly connected to the Meraglim. It, you know, we can argue that there's a connection, but he's saying no, it's not at all. Okay? It's talking about Avodah Zarah. When you make an error and you don't do the mitzvos, what's that referring to? Zo Avodah Zarah. Okay? When you do Avodah Zarah, you're going against the entire Torah. So that's lo sasoyis kol mitzvos Hashem. Okay? Uvechol avera ha'adam chotev machshava ma'isen. For every sin, a person sins on two levels. One is machshava, in your thought. Uve ma'isa, and in your deed. Ki kol ma'isa kodma lo ha'machshava. In order to do an action, you have to have a thought process first. Now maybe some people don't think. Okay? Okay, fine. But anyway, the machshava comes first. Because if you don't have any intent whatsoever, it's not shogeg. It's blameless. If you didn't think about it in the slightest, you know, it doesn't fall into the realm of the category of what we call shogeg. And that's why everybody who sins needs to bring two karbanos for atonement. Ha'ola al hirhur halev. One is for the ola is for the thought process. The chatas al cheta maisa, and the chatas is for the deed. The af al pi shekol hirhur kodem lemaisa, and even though, as we just defined before, every time there is a deed, the thought process comes first. Mikol makom hamaisa kashem in our hirhur, but the deed is usually much worse. Right? You know, we don't always say machshava kamaisa. I would say you really have to do it. If you just have a machshava, no big deal. If you don't act upon it, you have to act upon it. But once you act upon it, that's much worse. Shara le'olam ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'anish al machshava im lo yotza machshavto lepoal. If you only thought about it, you didn't like, I thought I'll steal something. I didn't do it. So guess what? I don't get punished for it. So you know, I decide I'm going to do something, and I don't end up doing it. It's not a big deal because you don't get punished for your thoughts. Kemoshin amar. If it's only in my heart, God doesn't listen to it. Just as for like if you're totally blameless in your action, right? Like I'll bring an extreme example of a terrible action, but you're blameless, right? You get into a car accident and there's a fatality. Does anybody say you're at fault? I'm assuming it's a real accident. Okay, it happens. It's terrible, but it's onus. You're not considered to be a murderer if you do that. So, but nonetheless, again, not I'm moving out of the car accident realm, going back to his analysis. Okay, the deed, that's the main sin. Okay, maybe tchila chatas. That's why whenever there's a sin, the chatas, the one which is supposed to bring atonement for the action, for the maisa, that has to come first. Lasir avon agadol tchila, to get rid of the worst sin, which is the action. And then we deal with the little sin, which led to the big sin, which is the thought process. But there's one exception to that. Chutz may be Avodah Zarah. Okay, Shneimar, Matfush is based Shabli Bam. So Avodah Zarah is the exception. Why? The Fisha Machshava Avodah Zarah, who Ikar Achet Kizeh Davar Atolui, the Amun Asalev. Okay? That Avodah Zarah is it's the change in your heart and your mind which allows for, without that, you know, if I bow down to an idol, for example, I mean, it's stupid because I don't believe in it. I'm not, I mean, we can make the argument about whether I, you know, I'm going through emotion, but it's a joke. But if I actually believe in it, that's the Ikar HaChet. That's the Ikar HaChet. V'chol ha-maisim, ke-kitur, v'zibuach, v'nisuch, v'shtachavoya, kulon tfeilim al-achshava. The main thing is that a person has to say, I believe in Oysa Ish. I believe in such and such Avodah Zarah. Once I believe in that, then I'll do all my little things and my bowings and my prostrations and whatever it is I'm supposed to do. But the main thing is in the mind. That's why the smag, in his introduction, says that you should not get into your mind that there's another God. He says, that's why in this case, because we're talking about Avodah Zarah, the Ola has to come first. To get rid of the big sin first. What's the big sin in Avodah Zarah? The thought process. The deed of Avodah Zarah is small in comparison. Now let's get to the juice. The whole reason why he's giving us this analysis. So the chatas here is missing an aleph. Why? Because the aleph is the first letter. Umispara echad. And its numerical value is 1. Mor v'chol makom alachdus shel rishon l'kol notzar yizborach. The aleph is symbolic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. V'zeh achotei Avodah Zarah makchish achduso yizborach. The guy who sins with Avodah Zarah, he is contradicting in every way God's unity. V'ein Elohim yizimosav. And God's Adam is out of his book. Now, Kain Chaser Aleph Bechatas Lomar Shechesron Aleph Hainu Cheto. Okay, so the Aleph is missing. He says that's the proof that what are we talking about here? Avodah Zarah, because the guy who sins is that he removes God from the equation. This is the guy who needs to go through this process of an Ola first and a Chatas. And my proof is because the Aleph is missing. Kim V'daber Avodah Zarah V'davar Zeh Nivdal Hashem Mikol Bruav Kikulam. Okay, everybody else, there's two. You have a thought and a deed. With God, just one. He says, how is God different than everybody else? If I want to build a house, what do? I make a plan, I make a house. Okay, I build a house. If I want to take out the garbage, I got to go over the garbage. I figure out how I'm going to do this. I tie it up, I pull it out, I take it out. Then I do my mice and I take it outside. God says, "Yehi or," boom. Okay? So that's the difference, and that's what makes God unique. There's nobody else that can do this. Okay. So again, a classic example of how we have seen the Kli Yakar to jump on, in this case, not one letter. The fact that one letter is missing. Wow. Okay? Okay. Wow. That's incredible stuff. Yeah. Okay. We move on and we do the tzitzis. And the tzitzis, this is, even if there were more afterwards, I knocked it out. So this is what we need. This is just the tzitzis. And we're going to take this. Okay? Now let's take a look at the Parsha Tzitzis. I'm sure you're familiar, but it's good to review Rashi because his commentary isn't so much on tzitzis, but it's explaining Rashi. Okay? What does Rashi say? Let's see, where is it? Okay. Where is it? Okay, so Rashi says, we're on page 816, a few things. Okay. So he explains what the tchelas color is, and then in Schar Tam Eskol Mitzvos Hashem he talks about how the tzitzis is gematria 600, and there are 8 strings and 5 knots, which makes it taryag. Okay, very nice. And where is the part where he says that you see that the yam is domel l'rakia? Is that Rashi, or is that the Midrash who says that? Remember that? Yeah, that teaching? I don't remember if it was Rashi. I thought Rashi's the one who mentions that.
Here, it's
Rashi, Psil V'Tchelis. Which one is that?
That one.
Where are you?
Psil V'Tchelis. It's Mem Aleph.
Last one.
The last Rashi? I'm seeing, but I'm... Yeah? No, that's not what we're looking for. Although this Rashi doesn't have... Oh, he does say that. Okay, no, that's not what it is. There is a... Maybe it's in the Midrash, where it says that what's the whole point? That the Tcheles is Domel Liyam, Yam Domel L'Rakia, and the Rakia is Domel L'Kisei HaKavod. Okay, I don't know. I thought it was Rashi. Okay. All right, anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, but you're familiar with that idea.
Yeah.
You see the blue, and the blue reminds you of the sea reminds you of the sky, and the sky reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod. So basically, you look at the distance, reminds you of God. Okay, so Kliyaka says, no. I love it. So that's not what it means. What, you're going to look at a blue string, and all of a sudden you're going to think about God? And we're only going to see the first one, the first method that he uses. Aderek Rishon with this. Aderek Shon B'Sifrei. Umevio Hayalkut Parshas Hazinu. Amar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Amar Lehem Yisrael. Yistaku Shemayim Shebarasu L'Shem Shachem. It says, look at the heavens that I created for your, to serve you. Shema Shinu Midasam. O Shema Allah Gagol Chama Min HaMa'arav. Maybe they changed their ways. Maybe the sun rose from the west. The sun does because it's happy to do. It's happy to do its job. You're not going to fear me. I'm the one who put the sand as the edge of the sea. Shema shino midaso. Maybe it changed its midos. Maybe it changed the way it is. Lo od elishem etzdayer lasos. So it's pain to do its job. Okay, and he brings the proof of that. So remember, two things. The heavens are happy to do their job, and the sea is pained to do its job. Okay? That was the point of all that quote. The sea doesn't change its ways from fear. Okay? It's pained to do its job. The heavens, they do what they do out of love. It's happy to do. Okay, so that's from the Midrash. So it's the Gemara Menachos. Okay, I just thought Rashi quoted it, but whatever. Okay, that's the equation, right? A equals B, B equals C, etc. Ubevadei perusho shetzvayim elu b'domel l'dome. Right, clear that it's referring to the colors. Right, kein tchelas dom al rakia, ela kol echad nota b'tzva'o. That everybody, you know, they imagine in their own ways of color, ela dom alo. Everybody makes equations of color based on their experience. B'kol echad amuk mechaveiro, and each one's depth of color may be a little different. U'b'mamar zeh chasam kol inyan lamar, ma'inyan estaklus b'chut shat tchelas l'shizkor al day zeh kol mitzvos Hashem. He says, now I'm going to explain to you what it means that you look at the Tcheles and you remember everything you're supposed to remember about God. Okay, it's because the Tcheles looks like the sea in color. And through looking at this string, you're going to remember it through its color. So it's like the sea is always in front of you. And once you're looking at the sea, because that's what's in your hand, the sea, you'll think about the Ma'aseh Hayom. And what's the deed of the sea? The deed of the sea is She'ena Yotze Min Amida, that it never changes its character. Afilu Kumalin Nema, not even one iota. U'mimenu Yireh V'chein Yaseh B'Kal V'Chomer Shizkir Bala Medrash Amor Histaklu B'Yam. The word tzitzis means to look. Metzitz ben acharakim means to look from whatever the acharakim are. It's shir shirim. Okay, but the point is that tzitzis means you're going to be looking, and when you look, you're going to remember that the deed of the ocean. What's the deed of the sea, the ocean? That it serves God meyira, even though it doesn't want to, but it doesn't change its character. Okay, that's the point. Tainu she yeh mitzitz mistakel b'yam she'enu mishaneh b'diyah. So it doesn't change. Kachu lo yishaneh b'kal v'chomer. So too a person who's looking at the tzitzis shouldn't change from proper midos. V'im yavar afilu al achas mikol mitzvos Hashem arei yotze min amida shemadad lo Hashem. And if he violates a mitzvah, he's going out of the measurement that God measured for him. You're supposed to be this way, not that way. Lamar, ad potavo, go this far, v'lo tosif b'zeh, mutar b'zeh asur. Don't try to figure out more what's allowed, what's not allowed. Ach lafi sheminayam, in l'mod, kiim lavodas Hashem yira. However, since from the sea you're only supposed to learn how to serve God out of fear, sharei amar bayam, because where's the tchelis coming from, or the blue? It's in the sea. V'lo od, ela shemitztayer lasos. What did it say about the sea? That it is pain to do it. Chumosh ne'emar, ha'osilo tira'u, nu'am Hashem. You're not going to fear me, God says. Asher samti chol gvul hayam. I'm the one who put the sand as the border of the sea. Shema mina, shem ne'ayam ein lilmod ki im ha'yira. The only thing you're supposed to learn from the sea is fear of God. Milsa zutras l'gabi Moshe. L'gabi kol d'chavasei. That's like a small thing for Moshe. How to serve God out of fear. Why? Somebody who does and who serves God out of love, and who serves God out of joy, that's even greater than somebody who fears God. Right, where does that come from? That a person loves God from toiling in Torah. You're not doing it because there's a rod over my back, God's beating me down. I'm doing it because I love it, and because I love God. Just from doing something that a person enjoys, the person benefits just from the toil. Mm-hmm. But somebody who's afraid, somebody who's like, oh no, you're going to beat me up, he doesn't appreciate the deed. I think about Lahavdil. What's the difference between a slave who builds a building and a worker who builds a building because he loves working with his hands? The slave, it's like I'm doing it to survive because this guy's going to beat me. But the guy who does it because he just loves look how this puts together, this how this fits together. It's amazing the difference. Alkein amar v'yam doma l'rakia, and that's why you take it to the next step. The yam is doma l'rakia. The sea is similar to the sky. So he's looking at the tchelis, that reminds him of the sea. What do we know about the sea? The sea doesn't change its midos. And once you think about the sea, he remembers about the sky. So just as the sky doesn't change its midos, and not only that, that's what the Midrash told us, that the sky loves to, is joyous over the way it serves its creator. So too the person is supposed to serve God with joy. And if a person is going to say, what benefit do you get out of loving more than out of fearing? Okay, what's Dome L'Kisei HaKavod? The sea? No, it's the Rakia. If you want to be close to God, you want to be Dome L'Rakia, which is close to the Kisei HaKavod. Everybody who's Yare, who's afraid, tries to distance himself. Oh, the taskmaster is going to come and beat me up, so I'm going to hide. I'll make sure he doesn't see me. But if I love it, I'm going to be front and center. What he loves, that's what he's going to do. Because that's how he gets his reward, from doing what he loves. If you love God, that's where all your success comes from. Through the different connections, that's what it means to have a connection to God. To remember that the rakia is Obed Es Hashem Be'Avo, serves God with love and with joy. Because there's a hint here to the reward that is open in this world. And to the hidden reward, which is in the merit of love, Kemosh Amru, at somebody who benefits from what he does in this world. Yes, it's good in this world, but it's even more in the world to come. And that's why the tzitzis, it's all a hint. It's all a hint to how this is supposed to play out. And that's what the point of the Gemara Menachos, to say that you see the tzitzis, that tells you about the yam, tells you about the rakia, and it's about midos, how they don't change their midos. They do what they're supposed to do, whether it's out of year or out of ava, they do what they're supposed to do. And so now he takes that same numbers, that not the 600 in the tzitzis, but as he says, v'zeh perush yakar, v'zeh otam shmona chutu in chamisha ksharim. That's why it has 8 strings and 5 knots. Sacha kol shlosh esrei. That equals 13. Kine mispar.
Hava.
Because Hava is a match for 13. Okay, I thought this was just solid gold, because sometimes we think, I didn't do it, because if I don't do it, I'm over. He says, no, that's not the right. Don't think about the fact that I'm over on a mitzvah. I haven't fulfilled my mitzvah. Think about how I can be mekayim me'ava. That's what the tzitzis is supposed to be about. And it's such a fascinating idea, because when you think, it's doma, the tchelis doma liyam, doma lirakia, doma lirakia, covered. I'm supposed to look at the tzitzis and think about God. He says, no, you don't think about God when you look at tzitzis. You look at the tzitzis and you think about good midos. You think about how you're not supposed to change from your midos. Because the rakia, because the yam doesn't change its midos, the rakia doesn't change its midos. And if you're going to go the step up, you could go yam, that's one way. But if you want to get doma, lukis yakav, you want to get close to God, you got to think about the rakia. Because the rakia is Ovid Me'ava, and that's what the 13 is all about. I thought it was amazing, amazing, beautiful interpretation from the Kli Yakar, and it's a totally new way, at least for me, about how to look at and appreciate tzitzis.